for a moment. I want you to imagine a scene of peace. Go ahead, close your eyes and imagine it. Not too long to take a nap, but close your eyes to imagine it. And describe it to yourself as fully as you can. Enter into it deeply enough to feel its glow. A scene of peace. Now, maybe some of you have pictured yourself dozing in the bottom of a rowboat on a calm and tranquil lake. Maybe you have seen yourself standing by the crib of a baby, watching the little one sleep. Maybe you've pictured yourself in a landscape that has no one but you. There's a gentle breeze blowing. There's a stream running. And the water as it tumbles over the rocks makes music. Maybe for one who's not here, you would have pictured yourself crocheting. Or you pictured yourself scrapbooking. Now listen to the Word of God. From John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven." One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he replied, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands. Put my fingers into them. Place my hand into the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing before them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, "You have believed because you've seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs, in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in Him, you will have life by the power of His name. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Well, whatever picture of peace you painted for yourself in those moments of reflection, chances are it was nothing like the scene that we've just read. Our text talks of locked doors, of secret meetings by night, and of fear. None of these things normally makes a person think about peace. Nor does the presence of one whose body was marked by the signs of torture and death. It seems clear, however, that John wants us to see the visits of Jesus to his disciples in the upper room as occasions of peace. Perhaps they can speak to us about some dimensions of peace that we'd normally think of. Perhaps they speak to us in the midst of turmoil. Perhaps they would speak to us in the midst of fear or in the midst of doubt. Now, false ideas about peace and joy abound in our society. These false ideas can distort our entire picture of what life is supposed to be about and of who Christ is and of who we are. I read a story not too long ago about a woman who went to church. Church she had never visited before. And from the pulpit, the preacher said, "If you don't have a smile on your face, you've got the wrong religion and you shouldn't be here. Christianity is a religion of joy." Now, not surprisingly, she fled that place in tears because she did not feel at that time that she could smile. She was having great difficulties and looking for comfort. Instead, she was told she's not good enough for God because she was not smiling. I remember a lady in the church where Kyle and I were raised. I never saw a smile. And I commented about that one day to our mom. And she began to tell me of some of the trials that she'd had in her life and about some of the difficulties her children had faced, and they were terrible circumstances. And I laid my judgmentalism aside, and I knew why she didn't smile. Didn't mean she didn't love Jesus. It didn't mean Jesus wasn't in her heart. But the things that were going on in her life and around about her, it was not possible for her to smile at that moment. And the great thing is, God never requires that we falsify our experience. Our risen Lord never waits until we are already happy for Him to come to us, and He never wears a pasted-on smile. Now think about this for a moment. Before Jesus appeared there in the upper room to the disciples, He could have obliterated the wounds in His hands. He could have obliterated the spear puncture in His side. But He chose not to. He bore the marks of His wounds into the presence of His disciples. And in the same way, Jesus does not ask us to banish our wounds when we come into His presence. The risen Christ came to the disciples in the midst of their turmoil and fear. He came in the midst of their doubt and their sense of having failed Him and failed themselves. And yet He said to them, "Peace be with you." And when He said this, He showed Him His wounds, His hands, His side, as if to say, "See these wounds? Feel them and know it is all right to hurt. Pain comes to all of us. Pain has come to me. People are hurt, but that pain and that hurt no longer has dominion over me. I live as I said I would. I told you I would suffer, and that you, if you followed me, you would suffer also. But I told you too that pain and even death would lose its power over me and its power over those who believe in me." Jesus' offer of His peace to His disciples in the passage we study today is done in close connection with the wounds of crucifixion. The enemy's peace had already done their worst. They'd made cowards and liars of His followers. They'd mocked His own words and His own actions. They humiliated Him in the city streets. They had violated His flesh and robbed Him of His life. But their war against Him had failed. On the evening of that first day of the week, he came to his disciples and showed them that he lived despite the worst that could be done to him. The peace that Jesus offers can be described as the confidence his followers are able to take from his resurrection experience, his resurrection appearance. His return on the first day of the week signaled the fact that his life and promises will endure. His peace be with you was more than a greeting to be followed by another goodbye. It was a declaration of a persistent fact. Because Jesus lives, nothing can separate his followers from him and from life in him. The disciples realized this fact, and in realizing it, they received the peace that Jesus offered. For without him, they would have been left to continue alone in darkness, and they'd have been in fear inside of a locked room. The confidence that the disciples received when Jesus came and said to them, "Peace be with you," is demonstrated in the response of the disciples to his appearance. Peace showed itself in their rejoicing and in Thomas's confession, "My Lord and my God," a confession of faith. And peace showed itself. Confidence showed itself. Inner security showed itself later when the disciples left that room and went into the world to proclaim the love and forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. But notice, none of the circumstances have changed. None of the external circumstances in the lives of the disciples changed when they received and accepted the peace that Christ offered them. They believed in him. They had confidence in him. They knew that nothing could separate them from him. They knew that God's love was real in their lives. But still they had to face the same situation they faced before he broke into that locked room. The room they had locked because of fear. They still had to face the authorities. They still had to risk going out into the streets. They still had to deal with the crowds who'd mocked and crucified Jesus. They still had to face trials and tribulations, just like we do. Peace be with you is the word of Jesus to us. Peace be with you, and blessed are you when you have not seen, as the disciples have, and yet come to believe. Blessed are you, not because your life will be plain sailing. Blessed are you, not because you will always want to smile and will never have to suffer. But blessed are you because you've linked yourself to a power greater than yourself, greater than your own, to a power that will sustain you, to a power that raised Jesus from the dead, to the power that will bring you to the inheritance that Jesus has won for all of us, that inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who are being protected by the power of God through faith. Let me close with the words which Jesus spoke before he went out into the Garden of Gethsemane and onward from there to his death on the cross. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. Peace be with you."